Hey,
Big Greg, what's up?
Oh, my arm is already sore from holding. So people at home, my microphone mount broke, and so I have to hold it in my hand.
Oh, such a pleb.
It's already annoying.
I'm sitting here with my microphone nicely mounted, hands free.
Do you reckon I should probably get a warranty on that, right?
Well,
is it 2 years?
You know what? It's been a while since we bought them, eh?
Hey, do you know what? I showed you this on Facebook. Now, if you look at my personal page, I've got my profession, like my job, is podcaster.
How good does that feel?
Co-host. Yeah, it feels great. It's somehow, I've got two jobs, photographer and podcaster.
It somehow feels official.
When I was putting that in, I went right back to our first episode. Guess when our first episode was?
Oh, God. I've blocked that horrible time from my mind. Let me guess. Like, it was probably about 2 years ago, right?
Not quite. Actually, no, it was closer to 1 year. It was October 2016, October 20.
Wow, there you go. Yeah. Okay, so almost 2 years. Well, not really, a year and a half. That was those were dark days. I mean, remember our first one, how nervous we were and how we were just looking at each other like, what do we do now? We've come so far.
Recording in the phone.
Oh, that's, were we really?
In what the garage.
What microphones were we? Oh, I mean, we had microphones, didn't we?
Just, no. Well, the first one was just my iPhone.
Wow.
Yeah. Humble beginnings.
This is probably not the time where we say to people we just spent the last 40 minutes trying to figure out like a solid topic to actually talk about.
Tom and I work like a married couple where we compromise, we strategize, we bicker, we argue. No, but we're very kind to each other. That's what makes us a good team.
The other day I messaged Greg an idea of something and he just absolutely shat all over it. But then he came back very soon and was like, I don't mean to totally shut down your idea. And I was like, Greg, that's fine. Like, I value your honesty. It was actually a more diplomatic scenario than any actual relationship I've ever been in. There was no, well, screw you.
We're getting there slowly.
Guess what I did last night? No, you can't guess. Okay. Just don't even bother. I went to my friend Dave's house and I took with me four things. One, my PlayStation. Two, a TV. Three, a bottle of wine. And four, three pizzas. And we set the TVs up next to each other and we sat there and we ate like so much pizza and drank wine and played games with each other. It was the ultimate nerd fest. It was awesome.
Wicked. Is that Dave that I know? Dave from
Canada? Dave.
Sweet. Dave. Hey, I found out something that's quite funny.
Okay.
You know how you bought your speakers?
I do.
And when you bought them, I was like, oh, wow. And I knew all about them straight away by looking at them.
I was like, what? Yes. You have some.
No. Who told you to buy those speakers?
Oh, wow. Was it you?
No.
Nah. Was it Dave?
Yeah. Dave told... I was hoping you would just say Dave. Dave told me he suggested you buy those speakers. I told Dave to buy all Yamaha equipment for his house.
Oh, really?
So I influenced your speaker purchase.
Through a third party.
Yes. I was really stoked when I found that out.
Wow. You're like, I wish I'd given that advice. Oh, I did. They're very nice speakers.
Yeah, but they need more bass.
And they only sound really good at high volume. So I've had them next to my desk facing me and I've just been playing music pretty low and I've been disappointed with how they sound. But then I move them out the back when we exercise sometimes and I can crank up the volume. They sound awesome in a wider space with just more power going into them.
Okay, interesting. I was disappointed that they didn't have a subwoofer output because a lot of Yamaha stuff does and it does make it much better.
Yeah, man. I had something else to tell you and it was Well, I won't tell you. I'll ask you. So, how's weddings? Everything good in your, you know, all your weddings? What you've been doing? Anything interesting?
Good, good. I'm pretty busy. I did 3 in a row this week.
Yeah, that's heavy, man. Like, last week. Well done.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and to add to that, the first one was 4.5 hours away from my home.
Jeez, really?
In Tauranga. Yeah, so I drove the night before, drove down, stayed with a mate, shot the wedding, stayed with that friend again, and then drove 2 hours to the next wedding, which was halfway home.
Mm.
Shot that wedding, stayed in a motel, and then went another hour to another wedding, shot that, and then finally came home. So I was gone from Wednesday till Saturday. It was a huge, huge run. And it was kind of cool because you're kind of living out of your car, and I had like all my batteries and everything, and I like that. You're kind of really self-sufficient, and if something goes wrong with your gear, you can't just go and grab a backup or whatever. You have to really plan ahead. I liked it. It was good fun.
So you're just obviously backing up as you go. Like, you're just backing up, making sure you have everything on the laptop and possibly an external drive as well?
Yeah, what I was doing is I took enough cards. Oh, this is kind of cool. So I took enough cards so that I never had to clear a card.
Very good.
Yeah, so I after the wedding, I dumped the cards onto my laptop. Normally, I'd have an external hard drive as well, but because I wasn't having to clear the cards, if I lost the laptop, the laptop was backed up at home, and so I'd only lose the latest stuff I'd put on there, which I had cards for.
Yep.
So I felt pretty good about that. But the cool thing was, I decided to try and shoot, because I shot my first wedding, right? Mm. And I didn't change my batteries. I was just like bang, 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 and then second wedding, I was like, ooh, I've got spare batteries, I'm just going to keep shooting on that same set of batteries. And I shot 2 whole weddings without changing any batteries.
How long were these weddings?
One was 8 hours, one was 7 hours.
That's very impressive.
It's like prep all the way to first dance.
Because I have to change my batteries every wedding. So let's say I start at prep, I have to change them. Well, no, I have to change one of them probably on the just 35. Before the first dance. Well, whichever camera it is, because I swapped to one camera for portraits.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So, one battery I have to change during the reception. But, that's really interesting about what you said about your not wiping the cards. Because that's actually something that I think that, do you do that normally? Like, do you try and not wipe your cards until like the last moment? Mm-hmm. You know, let's say, or do you wipe them weekly?
No, I do wipe them weekly. I've got, because I got the compact flashes and then the SD cards, like you, the SD cards. Mm-hmm. Just have like a medium res, and it's just always accumulating.
That's so good.
But on the compact flashes, I will, if I'm doing back-to-back weddings, I won't clear the card the next day and use it. I'll save it until like another week or something.
I think that is so, so important. And by the time that week comes around, you hopefully will have, if not culled the wedding, had a chance to make sure that all the files imported properly and are there.
You've got it. And I hate looking at the, like putting a card in the camera, looking at the files and then going like, oh, like I haven't even like, culled this wedding yet. I have to go back to the computer and like check. And it's okay because you might look at the computer and go, yep, they're all there. But I'm seeing a mix of two cards, right? So I might be looking at one card, but the other card might not have copied properly or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wait till the last minute.
Something that I've been doing lately is Michelle and I have decided, you probably saw on Facebook, well, in fact, we've talked about it. Michelle and I have decided to go and spend 6 months in Europe in 2019.
Yeah, well, you had told me, but I didn't know it was official.
Mm. Well, it wasn't until 2 days ago. I already have one booking in Denmark in October, I think, 2019. But we decided to do it, and now it comes with the huge task of actually trying to book some weddings over there for that period. So I've been like smashing some Facebook targeted ads. I've been like messaging every photographer I know over there that I have some sort of relationship with, and being like, hey man, I'll send you some Aussie weddings if you can send me some, you know, some UK or some Euro weddings. Daunting task, man, but very exciting times.
Cool. Wow, that's very exciting.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I didn't know it was a real thing. So will you just get a house sitter for your place or something like you normally do?
That's the plan. That's the plan. Yeah, we're not sure. Hopefully, Michelle's been looking into direct house exchanges. So like literally, we go to live in someone's house in the UK or France or whatever, and they live in our house. That'd be perfect because we would get to use their car. They could use our car. Michelle's car, not mine.
Oh, yeah.
come on. I'll put wheel clamps on mine.
Yeah. Just take the steering wheel off.
Take the steering wheel. So that's pretty exciting. So
I have a contact for you in Germany. After I'll share that with you.
And shameless spooking of my own self, I'll be in Europe from April to October 2019. Would love to shoot some weddings while I'm there.
2019, April to October.
Yeah. You're going to come over and we're going to go to some workshops.
Oh, that was that. Oh, that's that. Yeah.
We're going to go to, well, way up north, I think. I'm not a big fan of workshops, but I would like them more if they were in Europe.
Mm. This one's in Sweden or something, right?
Yeah, it is. But it might actually be in March before we're there, but oh, well, there'll be something. There'll be something.
We'll sort it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it
hey,
out.
Hey, what now. About like, what are those big trade shows in Germany?
WPPI, you mean?
Which one's WPPI? Is that
that's the one in like Vegas.
That's oh, is it? No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. There's one that's every 2 years in Germany.
Germany photo trade show. I'm Googling it. Convention. I don't know. But yeah, look, heaps of things we can do. And you know what else I'm most excited about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go and see so many European metal shows.
Uh-huh.
Like power metal from like Sweden and, you know, nice. Norway, and black metal from Norway and all this cool stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
All right. Snapdowns.
Snapdowns. You have a lot of snapdowns today.
Yes, I do. Oh, that's a shortcut. So... Okay, one snapdown. Hey, you've got a black and white filter, right? Black and white preset.
Yep.
Do you use the white balance with your black and whites?
No. Should I?
That's my little snapdown.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you have a black and white preset and you just, you know, smashing through your photos and you click it and you're like, it looks good, but it's not quite right. Maybe just try sliding around the color. What am I trying to say? The white balance.
Literally trying it now.
Yeah. With your black and white, because it's quite amazing the difference it makes. Because if you think about it, you're accentuating greens and purples or blues and yellows, and man, it makes a big difference to like the tone of the image.
Okay, I'll try it. Should you keep going or should I do one?
You can do one.
Okay. Let me see. Where are they? Okay. I got an iPhone X. Did I talk about this? I think I talked.
Yeah, you don't shut up about it.
It's awesome. It's the best phone I've ever had.
Yeah.
Way better than the 7 Plus, and the camera's amazing. So, for mobile photography, it's awesome. I took it to Heron Island. I took it to the Barrier Reef last week. Obviously, I did not snorkel with it. Absolutely loved it. Actually, I wore the whole week I was there, I wore my Apple Watch and I did not take it off. Wore it all through the ocean, swam with it, in the shower, everything. It performed flawlessly. I took a real liking to pressing that button that ejects the water from the hole.
Yeah.
So satisfying. And this...
Nice.
That's my first snapdown.
Hey, it's funny you should say that, because I wore my Apple Watch in the ocean yesterday for the first time.
So good, eh?
Yeah, I felt a little bit worried that it was going to come off.
Really?
Yeah, but it didn't, so hey, that's good.
There you go.
What, do I have to do one now?
You have heaps, don't you?
Yeah.
Go.
But I don't have to do too many.
You don't have to do all of them.
My next one is, you know, you probably already do this because, you know, you're pretty amazing.
What?
You know when you're at a wedding. Have you ever been to a wedding?
No.
Oh, they're all right. And you're using flash, on-camera flash.
Yes. On. Oh, yeah.
That's not, when it's on camera.
Not off camera.
Not off.
I thought you meant pop-up flash, and I was like...
Oh, yeah.
haven't used that in about 9 years.
Haven't even had that for a long time. I know, right? So you're using on camouflage and it's quite dark, but you're still able to focus without the assist beam, right? It's like there's enough light where the camera will focus.
Yep.
What I've been doing lately is just covering the focus assist beam on the flash with my hand.
Okay.
So I hold the camera with my right hand, I focus, but with my left hand, I just grab the flash around the base of the flash to cover the focus assist beam.
Okay.
Two reasons. One is it, if you're trying to, like, you know when people are like just chatting or maybe having dessert or something and you just want a few...
giant red thing pops up on them.
Like, oh, what's like that? The predator.
I think they're red being beam. Marked with a rifle, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it just means you can take photos of people with flash, but they don't like go pew and look at you before you take the photo. Now, the other thing, and Tom, this might be something you need to think about now with videography being something you're more into. Like at the first dance, if you're using focus assist beam, the poor old videographer is going to have all these red flashes all over the couple in their nice video footage.
So true.
So if you can cover it up, yeah, it does them a big favor.
That's a really good point that
but you got to make sure if you do it, somehow the videographer knows you're doing it so that they can like give you a high five.
Well, the videographer would often be my wife, so she I'll just train her to know. Like, I'll just have it.
When it's happening, she has to give you like that "you're awesome" look.
Yeah. We'll have a signal. It'll be like, I'll just throw a rock at her, and that signal is I'm going to cover up my auto.
Yeah,
my assist beam.
She must appreciate.
Oh, she better, or else I'll
fire
her. So
that's one. That was mine. I did that one at my last wedding, and it worked out really well.
Does it not throw off the autofocus because the beam is like I can't focus on this thing that's so close to me, and therefore I'm not focusing the camera?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not at all. It just focuses.
So all the beam does is chuck out some contrasty light. What does it do?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Or does it judge the distance and tell the lens how far away the subject is?
I think the distance comes from the camera. Like the camera knows how far away the subject is.
Now I'm curious. What does autofocus assist do? Helps camera. The camera must be set up for. No, I don't know. Whatever. Let's move on.
Yeah, no, I could be wrong, but look, in practice, it just works perfectly. It doesn't slow the camera down at all.
That's all that matters.
But you might just have to be more aware of finding a contrasty, edge, you know?
Yeah.
Like the edge
that's
of
funny,
the dress.
Hey?
Or
when you're shooting like a first dance and it is very low light, let's say I often find myself like moving the focus point or moving the camera or whatever and focusing on like the line between a shirt and a jacket, you know, or like or the ear and the hair. It's because if you can't focus on an eye in that dim light, obviously.
You've got it.
Hopefully it focuses. All right. I have one more snap down. Oh, hang on. Someone's at the door. Oh my God. Can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Someone just came to the door. It was my album delivery man. And he dropped off my album, and I'm really glad I got it, because if I don't get the album when it arrives at the door, they take it to a courier depot, and I have to drive to the courier depot and pick it up. So that was awesome.
Nice.
Okay. Snap down. Okay. I suggest if you don't do this already, that you track where your leads come from, and I don't just mean look at it and go, oh yeah, that one's from there. I mean, make a list of where your leads come from. So I started making a list of where my inquiries came from, and it's been a very informative for me as to, you know, where my strengths are and where my weaknesses are in terms of inquiries and where they come from.
Interesting.
Yes, makes sense.
Yeah, could you share any stats?
I could. I could absolutely share some stats. I did a small calculation earlier, not too many calculations, but
do
for
you
example,
have a pie chart? Because that would be amazing.
No, I have some sort of bar graph thing.
Bar graph.
I guess I could actually make a pie graph. I could probably generate one from my Excel spreadsheet, couldn't I?
Hell yeah.
Can I?
Yeah.
Let me just take this.
Maybe you could do it another time.
Yeah, but I want to do it now. Okay. For example, I took an average month from, let's say, October last year, when I received 33 inquiries in the month.
Okay.
Which, from looking at my stats, yeah, it's pretty average, I guess.
Got one a day? Not bad.
Yeah, 1 to 2 a day. So, let me see. I think 7% of my inquiries for that month were from Instagram.
Oh. Hang on. I need to ask you a question.
Sure.
Are these inquiries that are coming in, for example, through Studio Ninja, or are you actually going through every single inquiry? Like, would those inquiries have come directly through Instagram?
Or yeah, it's a good question. And there are different ways to do it. I'm listing. So when it says that it came from Instagram, it was either a direct message through Instagram, which is quite rare, or on my contact form it says where did you find me, and they've listed Instagram. Yeah,
I understand. Yeah.
So I think 7%-ish was from Instagram that month. 15% were from Facebook. The vast majority were from Google searches, okay. And it fluctuates each month for me. But anyway, it's just really interesting to know where your work is coming from. Like, if you're getting zero inquiries through Facebook, then either who cares about Facebook and don't bother, or it might be an alarm bell, like, I need to do some more work on Facebook, you know?
Yeah, very good. And as a format for that, because I'm straight away, I'm thinking I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I would write, for example, in Excel, I could put the month in the, what's that called? The Y axis.
Is that the one that goes up and down? Like up and down, yep, that's what I did.
Put the month there, and then just like across the x-axis have the different lead types. Like,
exactly, so what I did.
Facebook, Insta, Google, whatever, word of mouth, flyer drop, Zeppelin over the over the
carrier pigeon.
And then
that's
you
what
just,
I did.
Are you just like putting one, like check marks kind of thing, or
I'm
one,
just
two,
doing like
whatever?
An ascending number. So just I'd go in there when I get one and I change it to the next highest number. So cool. I have like Instagram, Facebook, Google, vendor referral, which I would mean like if another photographer has sent me this wedding,
yep,
or a venue has referred me.
Uh-huh.
Word of mouth. That's like my friend told me about you. You shot my friend's wedding.
Yep.
And there's one venue that I get a lot of work from in the Southern Highlands, which has its own column. Because they refer me a lot of work.
Yeah, I suppose. Because I'm nice to them. And then at the end, you could add all those up at the end, and that gives you the ability to make averages, which...
Totally.
Percentages, I mean, and then you can do a pie chart.
Well, and they have a cumulative... what do you call it? Like a formula at the end of each month. So as the month goes, I can see my totals for the month,
nice,
of how many inquiries in total and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
but yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I'm going to do that.
Do it, man.
I'm going to do it.
I sent my spreadsheet to one of my friends and he immediately copied it, blatantly ripped it off and copied it. If he's listening, you know who you are. Make your own spreadsheet, you dog.
Okay, buddy.
Right.
Oh, shortcut corner. Okay, last week or the week before, whenever it was, I talked about the sync button when you're editing in Lightroom.
You did, yes.
And we know all about the sync button, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I think we do.
Okay, I found out what auto-sync does.
Tell me.
Would you like to work along with me?
Yes, I would.
Bring up Lightroom and just bring up any old album.
Got one.
Okay, click on an image that you want to edit.
Got one.
Then shift-click along, you know, like 5 or 10 or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, you're in Developer.
Yep.
Now, does the sync button show up?
It sure does.
Okay, click the auto-sync.
Yep. So I just flicked that little tab. Hey, flick the little switch.
I
love this. Oh, I love this live edits we do.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so you click on you're still on that first image, but you've selected a whole bunch down the bottom.
Yep.
And you can turn on the auto sync.
Yep.
Button.
Got it.
Auto sync. Now any adjustments you make to that first image.
Wow.
Go through like live.
Oh my god, they do too. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know. It's awesome. It's something, I guess. I
haven't, oh no, it's fantastic.
I haven't really used it yet. I'm trying to think if it's something I'll use.
I guess I'm wondering if it would be any faster than adjusting the first one and then just highlighting and syncing, but
yeah.
It's I don't know. Maybe it will be faster in some ways.
Auto sync. So anyway, that's what it does. It live updates the photos you've selected. But I'm yet to work out if that does speed my workflow up. But I promised I'd find out.
Interestingly, so if I just go and deselect that batch of images and then I just select a single image, then I go back to any other image and reselect a batch, so auto sync stays on. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to turn it on again.
I'm just going and playing with it. Yeah, okay. So
really cool.
You sure?
Okay, if you deselect a batch and then reselect a different batch, my auto sync.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. So you can edit any one of the images in that selection and it will sync to all of them.
Mine just deselected auto sync.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Maybe you have to just turn it on.
Yeah, my little switch is on and I've gone through, you know, I've selected some images, clicked the button for auto sync, and now I can edit any one of those images and they all do the same. They all get synced.
Now, can I just drop a shortcut on a shortcut? Okay. Have you selected a batch of images?
I have.
Okay. Is your auto sync turned on?
Yes.
Okay, turn it off.
Okay, done. And now it is off.
So this is how you might find yourself on a normal editing day, just with auto sync off. What happens if you hold down the command key?
I already knew that.
What? Oh my god!
Yeah, command.
It's a shortcut for a shortcut.
There you go, buddy.
All right.
Okay, so that's that out of the way.
Smashed it.
People have some awesome ways of using that in their workflow. I'd love to hear it. Now, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about disasters.
Yeah.
Tom and Greg's wedding disasters.
Wedding disasters. Who's going first?
And it was more a case of how do we deal with disasters? Was that what it was?
I think that's exactly what it was, and it's a good way of putting it, because it will happen. Every person who shoots weddings, you might be at home going, "Oh yeah, I'm awesome. My contingencies are great. My backup's great. All my gear is perfect." Next minute, you're at a wedding and something explodes.
Well, can I go first?
I'd love that.
I'll go first because I've got a double booking story that's not awful like your one. Mine's just okay. Mine's like a success double booking story, but I guess I think I probably talked about it before. But the moral of the story is, so I figured out that I had a double booking the day before the wedding, the two weddings, and what I did is I organized another photographer to shoot one of the weddings. I kind of like worked out which wedding I was going to break the news to, and which wedding was going to have a different photographer.
Was it simply an oversight on your part as to the what led to the double? Okay.
When one of them originally booked, I just put it in on the Saturday and it was the Friday, and I just never changed it. It just stayed there. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of realized, and then I sat there for like 5 minutes thinking, okay, what am I going to do here? And I made up my mind that one of the weddings was going to have to get disappointed. You know, one of the couples.
Yeah.
The other couple didn't need to know at all. They didn't need to know anything at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of flipped a coin, and one of the couples, they were friends of mine, and I had sort of a lot more invested in it. Like, I knew that I'd visited them, I'd visited the venue, you know, I'd sort of put a lot more time into it. The other one, I hadn't built that rapport with a couple. So I was like, okay, of the two, I think I know which one I'm going to, you might say, disappoint. So I made up my mind then, and then I solved the problem. Before I contacted anybody, I found a replacement photographer. You know, I made sure they had all the information. They were, you know, all of our payment information was all sorted. Everything was done. then I contacted the couple, and luckily it was the groom, not the bride, who I'd been talking to, which is like yeah. 1 in 50 weddings.
Yeah.
And he took it very well. And yeah, I still edited all. Oh, that was the other important thing, is I told the couple, like, this is what's going to happen. This person's going to shoot your wedding. Here are some weddings they've shot before. They're like really, really good. In fact, they charge much more than what you're paying. I'm still going to edit the wedding, so it'll have the look and feel of, you know, my wedding.
The GC.
Exactly. I was important that I didn't like go to them and say, hey, is this okay?
Yeah.
Because what it's happening. Like, this is it. There's no way around it. So yeah, it was like pulling off the Band-Aid. It was nice and quick. And he was like, okay, man, I get it. It's not the best, but let's just move on.
Sure.
And we did. And I ended up getting like a good review on Facebook or whatever from them. So it worked out really, really well.
That's talk about turning a bad situation into a positive. That's because, I mean, there are so many ways that could have gone wrong.
Well, I could just see that if I contacted the couple and said, oh my God, I've double booked your wedding. Just imagine, like, it's not their problem.
No.
It's my problem to fix. They are going to have, like, you've just got to minimize their stress. Okay, so that's mine. That's my little tidbit there. Tom's thinking. No, I think we need to make a proper episode out of your one. It deserves it.
Mine was so bad. I mean, I can talk about it now if...
No. Okay. We need... Yours is like a four-part miniseries.
Mine was so bad, and I handle a miniseries. Stephen King will be dual director. I might get Morgan Freeman to narrate. Narrate mine. Mine was so bad that it wasn't just bad how it happened. It was how I handled it, and it's still so tender to me. It was about a year and a half ago, and I handled it so badly that I feel people can learn a lot. It's basically a how-to on like what never to do with human beings in your life. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it was. You know what I did, didn't you?
I think that we came over to visit you the weekend it had just happened or something.
Oh,
and so I was still like, very fresh.
I was still in the fetal corner in the corner. Yeah, all right, how about the next episode? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm volunteering this. I'll explain it.
I think you should do it. I think what we should do is you should just go for it. Just like get it all out. And then it's done, you and I will decide if we release it, you know?
Because I feel I need to get it off my chest, actually.
And people, it'll be good to see that, you know, an honest human side of you, Tom.
So bad. All right, but for this week, I'm going to talk about my fountain. Am I? My fountain?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about the time that I fell in a fountain at a wedding. Here's what happened. Learn from my errors, people. So, you know all about this, Greg. I've told you hundreds of times. You know, at the end of the ceremony, the couple have signed the register and they have kissed, etc. They're back at the top of the aisle. The celebrant is saying it, gives them their marriage certificate, announces them as husband and wife, or husband and husband, or wife and wife. And then that's the point they walk back up the aisle. Often showered by confetti, often shaking people's hands, being hugged, blah, blah, blah. Beautiful moment. There's a venue in Wollongong, near Wollongong. It's called Ravensthorpe. It's a really lovely venue. So there's a fountain at the opposite end of the aisle to where the couple are standing. So you imagine you're the couple, you're standing on these steps, you're looking out down the aisle, your guests are there, you're about to walk back through the couple, through your guests. At the very other end of the aisle, probably 20 meters away, is a low fountain. Now, I've been to this venue so many times, I knew all about it. This particular occasion, I was doing what I always do, walking backwards with the couple, shooting them as they walk, getting these lovely shots of confetti being thrown at them, all the guests were clapping. And halfway along that walk, this couple happened to speed up a little, and I was like, oh, game on. So I sped up a little too, walked a little faster, shoot. Then all of a sudden, I feel behind my left foot a bit of like resistance. There was something in the way. I was like, oh, that's odd. Like, what, has someone like put their child on the ground? I'm tripping over their child. Is my bag on the ground? Then suddenly my right foot also hit something. And then suddenly I was falling backwards. And then suddenly I remembered there was a fountain there and I fell directly into the fountain. Now, I'm not talking just like one hand fell in the fountain. Like my entire body, both feet, all the way up to my chest, one entire arm with a camera and a lens attached. This was all underwater. And this is in front of the couple and all the guests. Yeah, it was pretty bad. So what did I do?
Yeah, this is, you need to talk about like what did you learn?
Oh my god. Not to fall in fountains. You know what? I got myself out and my first thought was, oh my god, the photos. And then later on I learned that memory cards are virtually indestructible. They're basically waterproof because they're not moving, right? They're just like solid, I don't know what you'd call them. But the photos are totally fine. I mean, one of the cameras died, one of the lenses died, whatever. I think I handled it pretty well. I felt so, so stupid. And the couple were like, oh, are you okay? Oh my God. And all the guests were like, there was this hush throughout everyone. Everyone was like, he fell in a fountain. Did you see that photographer? I was like, oh God.
Did you feel like they were on your side, the guests? Were they like...
No, that's the weird thing. I kind of thought, eventually they were, but in the moment, all I felt was they were like whispering and looking and like there was this look of horror on everyone's face. There was no like solidarity at that stage. It was just me versus, I felt really bad. But to my credit, I got up, I stood there soaking wet and I faced them all. I faced the couple and I was like, guys, I'm really sorry, but don't worry. Everything's fine. Everything's totally fine. Your photos are fine. And while I was saying this, the camera that had got in the water was just continuously taking photos without me pressing the shutter. All I could hear was... I had to take the battery out to stop it actually taking photos. And those were the last photos that camera ever took because it died. And then I kept going. So I shot the hugging, the congratulating stuff, whatever. And everyone was still like giving me these furtive glances as I was shooting it. And then we went straight to portraits. So then I did the entire portrait session. This is middle of winter with wet shoes, wet socks, wet pants, wet shirts. But I nailed it. By the end of that, the couple had relaxed. And Michelle had brought me some spare clothes.
Right.
And then when I got to the reception, the guests were really cool about it. Like they saw that I had like owned my error. I had not let it get to me. Like I wasn't like hiding in the corner feeling sorry for myself. I was walking around wet. You know, leaving wet footprints everywhere. And then as I was walking past guests, they would be like, hey, mate, bit wet out there today. And I'd say some, I don't know, comment back. But there was nothing to do but just admit that I made a stupid mistake and have a laugh about it. And I think since that wedding, I've actually had bookings of people who saw me fall in the fountain. Like guests at that wedding who saw me fall in have booked me for their wedding. So, Wow. Yeah. It ended up being super embarrassing and silly and I definitely lost some gear out of it. But overall, I think because I owned it and didn't try and pretend it never happened, I think I handled it pretty well.
What did you do about your gear on the spot?
Okay, good question. The importance of having backup gear. So the dead camera, I took the battery out. I put that camera and the dead lens because all the electrics in the lens were fried. The autofocus wasn't working. The glasses all fogged up. Oh. Put that in my car. Got my spare, my third camera because I always have three. Mm. Got my backup camera. My backup, I think it was a 135, which I always have two of those as well. And I put them on and I just kept going. Took the memory card out straight away. Put it into my memory card case. And yeah. Honestly, man, like there was not much time to be like, I hope everything's okay. I just had to kind of keep going.
Yeah.
And that is my second biggest wedding screw up. The first one you will hear about possibly next week.
I think I actually had a mini snap down that relates really well to that. And that's, you know how, I don't know if you're like me, but I've got a whole bunch of old gear that's just sitting around like in my office, like in a cupboard.
Heaps.
Like,
yeah,
old lenses, old stuff, old this, that, the other. Totes. Heaps of old stuff.
Yeah.
I realized that should all be in my car.
Oh, that's a good idea, actually.
Because and you know,
you never know.
Exactly. It's sitting here at home. It's just never going to get used. But if it's in the car, at least you know if something happens, I can go out and grab it. Whatever, you know.
What's the oldest digital SLR you have in your office?
No, but the 60s. We got a couple of 60s.
Okay. 60s. Oh, not that old.
So, no, not that old.
I have a 40D.
Oh, you still have that?
Yeah, man. Wow. It's only got like 13,000 shots on it. Yeah.
Nah, I've only got 60. We got 60s, 8Ds, and 5Ds. 8Ds. 80Ds.
8D? Damn. What do you know now, that I don't?
Actually, well, that was pretty much my next one. And when it comes down to gear failure, my big screw up disaster is just when something happens to your camera right then and there. I think Tom, you said that a few months ago or a month ago, you were shooting Ring Exchange and one of your camera, yes, something happened. One of your cameras just,
the shutter button stopped working.
Yeah,
it wouldn't take, so weird.
So I suppose, how do you handle that situation? But all you can do in those situations is, one, go to your other camera and just go, yeah, bang, 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 get the shot, and then take the battery out, put the battery back in. I mean, that's pretty much what you do in the moment, right?
That's pretty much all you can do.
And then if the camera is gone, you just have to rely on either that you've got two cameras there, so you have to rely on one, or you've got a backup camera in your car that you can go and grab. And I do think it's important. I think it's like, you know how I was saying, you've got to not tell the client too much, solve the problem, then tell the client, all that kind of stuff. But when you're at a wedding and something goes wrong, I don't think it's a sign of weakness or a sign of failure on your part that something's gone wrong. And if you try and keep it a secret and try and play it cool, I think that's more destructive to the moment than actually just being honest and saying, hey guys, look, I know we're about to do this, that, the other, but my camera has actually just died. Like, it's I need to just quickly go to the car, quickly sort this out.
I've thought about that a lot. Like, let's say you're at the ceremony and for whatever reason, you can't continue taking photos. Like, let's say the worst thing happens, which is two cameras fail or something.
Okay, sure.
Do you put your hand up to the celebrant and say, I'm so sorry, but my cameras have both failed. I need to go get my third camera.
Okay, so this is during the ceremony.
Literally, like, let's say the celebrant's saying, like, you know, these guys met at the pub, blah, 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 and they're like, well, they just saw each other. They're, like, talking and they're a bit nervous and it's, like, 5 minutes into the ceremony.
Well, you're like, there. I mean, you're getting paid to capture this thing.
You have to. You have to put your hand up, don't you?
Okay, how's this going to go, Tom? So, I'm trying to think how I would do it. I'd probably walk up and I'd probably tap the celebrant on the shoulder. And that's a good... This is on the fly. And I'm thinking the couple are there and the celebrant and you, they're all the people that need to know about this. No one else in the audience really needs to know. So maybe you could say, hey, look, guys, this is what's just happened. I don't know what it would be. I really want to do like the best job I can for you. If I can just go to my car or something, whatever, my bag, in 5 minutes, I'll be back and it'll all be good. Maybe
you have to.
Maybe the celebrant, because, you know, that little whisper, maybe the celebrant can just drag out that moment, like just talk about something for 5 minutes while you run away, run back.
Two observations.
Go.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
Yeah, what you're saying is totally true, but the types of clients that you and I work with, we get to know them pretty well, and most of our weddings are pretty chill. And I think if you and I were to do that with a normal client of ours in a normal venue, which is like a winery or a vineyard or a park or a farm or whatever, I actually think that no one would mind. Like, you know, the initial moment of us going up and interrupting the celebrant would be like, why is this guy doing this? As soon as they figure out, like, they know we're good at our jobs and we're professionals.
Yeah.
Like, this is our job. They want our photos. The clients want our photos. Like, the alternative is we say nothing and don't give them any photos. That's way worse. And, like, if we're honest, like, if we're honest and we're just like, hey, you won't believe this, both my cameras just died. And I have a spare camera there and I'm really sorry, but I need to go and get it. I honestly think the celebrant, and because we know the celebrants half the time as well, the celebrant would be like, no worries. The couple, like, they want photos.
Yeah.
The alternative is way worse. I don't think they'd mind at all.
Man, I've never ever considered that ever. Like, it's so terrifying. Yeah.
But my next point or slash question was, where is your third camera?
And it would be in the car in my case, yeah.
my third camera is in my bag at the end of the aisle. Mm-hmm. Like before the start of every ceremony, I put my third camera in my little think tank shoulder bag.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's already got a battery in it. It's already got a card in it. And it's already got the hold fast moneymaker mount on the bottom.
Oh, so you just swap it out.
Literally just walk there. I could dump both. Let's say both cameras died. Put them on the ground. Put the whatever lens I use the most at a ceremony onto that mm-hmm. third camera. Mm-hmm. For me, it would be the 135. Probably for you as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you had to pick one lens to do the ceremony with,
yeah.
What would it?
Yep, I think so, yeah.
And then just keep going. But imagine if that happened, man.
But I think you're right. I think it would take guts, but the right thing to do would be to go up and tell everybody, like as in everybody, I mean the couple and the celebrant, because the important thing is you don't want things to progress while you can't shoot.
Even if, what do you think about the celebrant? Like, I would have no problem if the celebrant said to the guests, photographer's had a bit of an issue and both his cameras have just died. Yep. He's got to go get his spare. Yep. Like, I wouldn't mind them saying that.
No, not at all. It's the celebrant's in control. It's not our job to address the crowd.
No.
Going to the celebrants, I think, is the right thing to do.
I agree.
And the couple, you're not going to the couple, but they're there.
They can hear as well.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So, and then it's up to the celebrant to kind of run that moment.
What happens next?
And you know what they could do? They could say, I don't know, is there anyone that would like to just give a short, you know, someone could give a short talk or something, or they could do an extra reading from the scripture, you know, something. Or just...
And you're right, like, imagine if it did happen early on, that part of the ceremony where they just talk about, I don't know, readings and stuff, like, it's probably the least important part to photograph.
That's true, and because no one's moving, everyone's pretty stationary, but the problem is that transition to, you know, the ring exchange. And if you're still at your car or something and the ring exchange is happening, that's the thing, is you've got to tell the celebrant so that they know to stall things just long enough. And even if you come back and you're like, oh no, I don't have a backup, and you come back and you've got your phone out, I mean, that's how it has to be in that case. Like,
I like how we've conveniently made this double camera failure at the easiest part of the ceremony to deal with. Yeah. Like, when it would actually happen is during the vows, and we'd have to go interrupt a crying bride and say, I can't, you got to stop your vows because, well, you know, kiss is about to happen,
I think,
or whatever.
I think getting out the phone would be the option there.
I kind of agree with you, man. Like, or imagine if they're halfway walking back down the aisle and then it fails.
You can't stop.
Well, you can't, the celebrant, you can't run to the celebrant and say, hey, stop them walking and come back, you know.
Honestly, it would be a case of getting out the phone. So maybe is that it? That's the...
Well, iPhone X.
The big learning is we all need an iPhone in our pocket.
Yeah. It's actually, I mean, it's kind of laughable, but it's not. The photos that these phones take now are so good. And if you have no other option, then that is 100% what I would turn to. Like, and it's got video too. Like, and it's all in your pocket.
It's right there. Do they, ours shoot 4K, right? 4K video? I think they do.
Oh, wow. I think they...
Because if might. They do, that would be, you could have it set up so your camera's on video mode already. And just swipe up or across or whatever your shortcut is, and hit record, and just do 4K video, and then just grab stills.
And then if you need to pull some stills, so the iPhone X does shoot 4K. You're on the 8 Plus, is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does.
8 Plus 4K. Yes, it does at 60 frames a second.
Oh, that's really? Amazing. So if you did that, incredible. I mean, that's going to give you some usable shots, I think. I don't know if the dynamic range is going to be as good as using the camera, though. But
oh, look, you know, and what I learned from my big double booking error, which I'll talk about later, what I learned is that honesty is the best way to deal with these scenarios. So, like, telling the people, this is what's happened, this is what I've done, this is what I need to do. It's the best way to move forward.
All right.
Well,
let's put a pin in that one.
Smashed it. Oh man, worst nightmare. Hey,
it is a little bit, but that's the whole thing about redundancy. You just got to be ready for it.
I do think that you take three cameras to a wedding, don't you?
To be honest, man, I don't that often. Like, I might have the third camera in the car, but I pretty much I run on the idea that I can do pretty well with one camera. So if one camera fails, I'm down to one, and I'm pretty good, man. I'm pretty good with one.
Oh man, yeah. Look, it's just those times. It's those things that you can't foresee or imagine happening.
If I'm going like on this big road trip I just did, that's a great opportunity to take more than two. Or if you're going over to an island or something like that, happens all the time. Yeah. In Auckland, we go to Waiheke Island quite a lot.
Okay,
man. Yeah. Whew, it's been a long one.
That was awesome.
Yeah. What do we do now? What do we do?
You need to.
Oh, I've got so much editing to do.
Yeah. What's your cue if you are okay?
Yeah. Well, it was 10 yesterday morning, but I'm down to about 7 now because I just had a couple of smaller things to knock out. And I got no weddings until this Saturday. I only got one this weekend. And I think I've only got one the following weekend too.
Such a nice feeling, eh?
Yeah. I'm just going to check on that. I got one this weekend, one the following weekend, and then 4 in the next week. I got four. One on a Monday, and then I've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow. That's huge.
And then I got two the next 2 weekends, 2 and 2, plus a random Thursday, and then I've got a triple header after that.
No, that sounds horrible. I don't take triples anymore. No way.
I got three more triples. Two more triples.
So let me ask you this question. What should everyone go and make snappin'?
Go and make snappin'. Don't necessarily buy one, but if you've got an iPhone 8 or some sort of Samsung phone that has wireless charging, go and make your wireless charging station happen. Wait, did I say happen? Damn it.
What? Yeah.
I accidentally said happen instead of snappen.
Oh, you did. Do you have a wireless charger?
I just bought one.
Oh my God. Where? I need to buy one.
It's in the car.
Where'd you buy it from?
Oh, I just like, you know, wherever. Just Noel Leeming.
Like supermarket?
Noel Leeming, just like Harvey Norman.
Noel Leeming.
That's like New Zealand's Harvey
Norman.
That
is a terrible name.
It's not the best.
Noel
Leeming.
Oh, that's terrible.
Anyway, yeah, I just bought it from there. It's made by one of those brands like Belkin
Logitech, yeah. And yep. does it charge through the case?
Through the case, but not with, you know how I have the magnet, the steel plate?
It doesn't charge
through that, no.
Okay.
So you get in the car and you can just like place it on the platform and it just charges away. And then you get out of the car. And because I've got Bluetooth to the stereo and everything, it means you just get in the car and you don't have to plug anything in.
Damn it.
It's pretty good. It's grippy, which is good because it doesn't fly off around corners.
That's awesome.
Okay, right, bud. Let's get out of here.
Ready? I'll see you later.
See ya. Bye.